today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Family Talk. I'm your host, Dr. James Dobson, and today we have an exclusive interview that I think you're going to enjoy. It was recorded with a great friend of mine, Pastor Greg Laurie of Harvest Christian Fellowship in Southern California, and he's going to share his journey uncovering the life of one of Hollywood's biggest names through his new documentary entitled Steve McQueen, American Icon. He's going to discuss his acting career in movies, including The Great Escape, The Magnificent Seven, and Bullet, and his decision to walk away from Hollywood later in life in search of meaning. Pastor Greg will reveal that during McQueen's search, he actually became a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, recently, while I was on vacation with Shirley, our Family Talk broadcast team traveled to Southern California to cover the SoCal Harvest Crusade. And while there, our vice president of media, Brian McNulty, was able to step in for me at the microphone and sit down with Pastor Greg. Now, let's give a listen to that conversation now here on today's edition of Family Talk.
Welcome to Family Talk. We're sitting today with Pastor Greg Laurie. And Greg, you decided to make another film, and you chose a very particular subject. Tell us why you chose to make a movie about Steve McQueen.
Well, I'm not really in the movie-making business, but I found the story of Steve McQueen having his life transformed by Jesus Christ one of the most compelling stories I'd ever heard. And I thought, more people need to know this story. I'd heard it way, way back that Steve had come to faith in 1980, but I never heard any firsthand accounts, and I wasn't even sure if it was completely true. And one day I watched a documentary film on television about his life, and it was sort of the familiar trajectory. He had a horrific childhood that I didn't know until I started looking into his life was almost exactly a mirror of my own childhood. There were so many similarities, it was actually eerie, starting with the fact that we were both born to alcoholic mothers who were married and divorced multiple times. Neither one of us knew our biological father. Both of us lived for a time with aunts and uncles and our grandparents, and Steve was sent to a reform school, the boys' home in Chino, California, and I was sent to a military academy. So as I began to look into his life, I could really feel a great degree of empathy for him, like, I know this guy. But here's the story no one had ever heard, how his life ended. In this documentary film I was watching, Steve becomes the number one movie star in Hollywood. He's disillusioned with it. He grows his hair out real long, and his beard's grown out. He's looking real shaggy. He wants to go incognito. And he moves to Santa Paula, California, because the one thing he had never really learned how to do was fly. He was a great race car driver. So he wanted to learn how to fly a plane, and it was there in the cockpit of an antique Stearman biplane that he met a man named Sammy Mason, who shared with Steve the gospel. And Steve asked Sammy if he could go to church with him. But anyway, I thought, this is an incredible story. Steve McQueen came to faith, and I wanted more people to know it. And so it began with the idea for a movie and also turned into a book. So now it's a book and a movie.
I want to go back a moment.
Yeah.
It's obvious that you had parallel lives and you saw some of yourself in Steve and Steve in you. Mm-hmm. You said something that struck me in the film. You said in part, if you come from this brokenness and you are abandoned, it sends you on a search that follows you into adulthood and throughout your whole life. I can understand the adulthood part. You need to mature and find yourself. But that touched me, that it carries throughout your whole life. Do you see that in Steve?
Yeah, I think when you have the kind of a background that Steve had, a biological father who effectively abandoned him. He never knew his dad. And a mother who was so preoccupied with other men and drinking that he really never had parents. And I think that's one of the reasons why Steve went from relationship to relationship with women, if you even want to call it that. They were more like hookups, because I think he was trying to fill a hole in his heart, a hole in his heart that was exasperated by the way he was raised. Now, all of us have a hole in our life, I think, that only God can fill. But when you come from a divorced home, you go through life wounded. When you go through life without a father, that too is a big gap in your life. The absence of fathers in our culture today is at the root of so many of our problems. And I believe that is absolutely true. And Steve's life is almost like a microcosm of that, where without a father and a mother, he had no guardrails. He had no boundaries. He had no real strong values to speak of. And then he becomes the number one movie star in the world. So basically everything is right there in front of him. And he grabbed it with both hands and he saw the emptiness of it. And his life was just continuing to unravel.
Greg, this production, obviously, one of your callings in life is to turn people to Christ. And you saw in Steve McQueen's story that he was turning. And it was a slow turn. Yeah. His first exposure to Christianity, as the movie describes, was on the film The Blob. Yeah. And so things are starting to happen in his life as he gets more and more success and is exposed more and more to culture. There's this void, but the void is becoming obvious. Yeah.
Steve found that out in real time as he just saw the emptiness of the things he was chasing after. Again, this is a guy who had no point of reference. He thought, okay, a cool car will make me happy. A motorcycle will do it. So he had this massive collection of motorcycles. He also was a great motocross rider. Of course, he raced cars and all the rest, but he had a beautiful home that was castle-like, really. He had incredible wardrobe. He had global fame. He had unlimited money to utilize, but he just saw how empty it was. And so that sent him on a real search where he was trying to figure out what life was about. So for Steve, and I had a similar experience, it became a process of elimination. Okay, the answer's not here. The answer's not there. Where is the answer? I mean, he's had hit movies. Again, he's the number one movie star in the world at his peak. He has global fame. He's had all these women. He has all these cool possessions. And something is missing. So his search sort of went into hyperdrive.
Well, I want to get into some of the visual elements of the film. It's an amazing film. You've got to check it out. There's a fast green Mustang, a fastback green Mustang. And it symbolized everything that was cool in culture back in the late 60s. I mean, it's Southern California. It's a car culture. And you ended up getting one of these green fastback Mustangs and taking a road trip in search of some answers, didn't you?
Yes, it actually all started with that green Mustang that I bought in Texas when I was out there speaking. I'd been searching for a long time. I wanted a bullet replica car. Now, some people are listening. They don't know what that means. Steve was in a film called Bullet. He played the role of Detective Frank Bullet. And this detective in the film drove a 1967 fastback Mustang in Highland Green. It had a blacked out grill. The pony emblem was removed. And of course, it's one of the greatest cinematic car chases in history. This was a real car chase. They exceeded 100 miles per hour. And these are not sophisticated cars, you know, and getting airborne in the streets of San Francisco and so forth. So I bought what is called a bullet replica car. So it started there. I had an interest in the car. And then as I pursued Steve's story, I used this as sort of a metaphor. The car is a metaphor to say, okay, I'm going on this road trip around the nation. Now, as I point out in the book, I didn't go to all the places. There's a little slight bit of fiction there because I utilize interviews that my co-author, Marshall Terrell, had done with some people that I didn't have access to. But I did go to quite a few of the places in my car and chase the story down. In fact, there's some really cool scenes in San Francisco where we drove the exact roads that McQueen's character drove in the film Bullet. So after I drove my Mustang through San Francisco, after I was done, I thought, okay, that wasn't on a bucket list because I don't think I really have one. But I thought if I had a bucket list, that was on it. And I just checked that box because that was super fun.
Well, Greg, you mentioned metaphors, and I know you use a lot of metaphors in your preaching and your teaching. And I just have to say that the film very subtly uses great metaphors to speak to you individually. It did to me. There were two people in Steve McQueen's life who came into his life at different times. And one of them was early on, and it was his Uncle Claude. And then later on, someone completely different, but it was a man. Yeah. And we all know how Dr. Dobson talks about strong male figures in the absence of a father. And it was his flight instructor, Sammy. Can you talk about how you saw these two men doing things to reach him?
Claude was an interesting character. He wasn't a father to Steve, but he was a father figure. He wasn't a real affectionate guy, but he wanted Steve to do his jobs, his chores, and be responsible. There were sort of parameters laid out in Steve's life, and Uncle Claude bought him a little red tricycle. That was Steve's first vehicle on wheels that would become a pursuit of his life, a passion of his life. But in many ways, Uncle Claude was sort of a stabilizing figure. In fact, Steve left Uncle Claude's house and ran off with his mother again and went back there again. And so Claude had a stabilizing effect on a person's life. The importance of a father is so vital. And, you know, sometimes kids just don't have fathers. I was raised without a father as well. But there were father figures that came into my life later that were able to sort of supplement what I was lacking. So Steve really found that man in Sammy Mason. This is more toward the end of his life now. This is after he's become the number one movie star in Hollywood, how he's walked away from a very lucrative career, and he moves to Santa Paula, California. And the reason he moved there is because it's the antique flying capital of the world. And someone told Steve, if you want to learn how to fly, get an old Stearman biplane. That's the best plane to learn on, and get one of those guys that knows how to teach you how to fly on it. Well, there was only one guy in that area really qualified, and his name was Sammy Mason. And he, along with his son, Pete, would teach people to fly. So Steve calls Sammy Mason and says, hi, I'm Steve McQueen, and I want to take flying lessons. And of course, Steve was used to people getting all excited when a living, breathing movie star called them. But Sammy wasn't impressed at all and said, oh, I'm not taking any new students on. Sorry, and hung up. And then Sammy went and said to his son, Pete, some guy called me. He said he was an actor, Steve McQueen. I've never heard of him in this sense. Said, Dad, that's Steve McQueen. He's in The Great Escape. We watch his movie all the time. Oh, okay, Sammy said. And so Steve called back. He was persistent. He wouldn't take no for an answer. And Sammy said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll let my son Pete teach you, and I'll teach you as well. So now Steve's learning how to fly, spending hours in the cockpit of this yellow Stearman biplane. And it was in that time he spent with Sammy that they started talking about life, the meaning of life. And Steve saw something in Sammy he had not seen in anyone before. And that was a peace. And he asked Sammy about it. And Sammy said, well, Steve, it's my relationship with Jesus Christ. And Steve was so impressed by Sammy and by his faith. And Sammy was a perfect guy to reach Steve because he was a man's man, a no-nonsense kind of guy, wasn't impressed with Steve's fame. Just custom designed to meet Steve McQueen. Well,
they actually all started to coalesce around this airport. In the film, I learned something that I did not know about Steve McQueen, and that is he moved into the hangar and set up like a man cave, and he brought his girlfriend at the time, Barbara, and they lived in the hangar. And they started to grow closer to Sammy and the people around Sammy.
Yeah, that's true. Steve, he was becoming very close with the little flying community there in Santa Paula and becoming closer to Sammy Mason and his family. I think maybe that was the first real family Steve was exposed to, where he saw a mom and a dad and the children and how a family should look. And he loved to hang out with them. In fact, when he started going to church, he sat with the Mason family in the balcony of the missionary church there in Santa Paula.
All right, we're going to advance the story now because it's such a good story. Steve starts to have an interest in a relationship with Jesus Christ. He comes home. He tells Barbara, put a dress on. We're going to church tomorrow. They go. In the movie, it's mentioned Steve McQueen just didn't come and hang out. He had questions. Mm-hmm. He had specific questions about the Bible. He asked, does the Bible work?
Yeah. So Steve actually asked Sammy Mason, the pilot who was teaching him how to fly, if he could go to church with him. Imagine that. Sammy didn't invite him. Steve said, can I come to church with you? Sammy said, of course you can. In fact, Sammy's son, Pete, said, yeah, that'll last like one time. No, Steve was going every week sitting up there, and he was bringing friends and family with him and sitting in the balcony of this church. And so someone told the pastor of the church, Leonard DeWitt, Steve McQueen's coming to the church. And of course, people knew Steve lived in town. They'd see him around. People were nice to him, and Leonard knew Steve was in his church. Now, some pastors, honestly, probably would have said, oh, I want to meet him. But Leonard was a wise man, and he didn't approach Steve. He just gave him space. And so one day after church, someone taps him on the shoulder. He turns around, and there stands Steve McQueen. Steve says, hello, I'm Steve McQueen. And Leonard says, well, Steve, nice to meet you. And Steve says, Pastor, could we go out and have lunch? I'd like to ask you some questions. And Leonard said, of course. And so they went out. This lunch lasted around 2 hours. And I asked Pastor DeWitt, what did Steve ask you? And Leonard DeWitt said he wanted to know, could the Bible be trusted? He wanted to know if all of his sins could be forgiven. And thirdly, he wanted to know what it looked like to be a Christian. You know, Steve was probably trying to wrap his mind around it. He had been Steve McQueen TV star, then Steve McQueen movie star, Steve McQueen race car driver, Steve McQueen motocross rider. Steve McQueen Christian? Is that even possible? McQueen wondered. Well, Pastor DeWitt patiently answered all of his questions, and then they were done. Leonard DeWitt said to Steve, well, I have a question for you. And Steve smiled. And he said, I know what you want to ask me. You want to know if I become a born-again Christian? And Pastor DeWitt said, yes, I'd like to know that, Steve. And Steve said, yes, I have. I prayed with you a few weeks ago. And so Steve had accepted Christ. And after that, Steve and the pastor would meet every week for an hour of intense Bible study. In addition to that, Steve was at church every single Sunday. So Steve was really starting to grow spiritually. And obviously, McQueen knew he had this huge platform, and he wanted to use it for the Lord. He wanted to get grounded in his faith first, and then he wanted to tell others about what Christ had done for him.
Well, in the movie, you utilize some amazing archival audio tapes, and it makes you feel like Steve is in the room with you, talking to you at the end of his life.
Yeah, so now Steve is a Christian. He's growing in his faith. And he's not feeling well on the set of one of his films. So he goes to the hospital. They examine him and tell him he's in the final stages of cancer, mesothelioma, probably from his earlier exposure to asbestos. There's no surgery they can do. They give him no hope. They basically say, get your affairs in order. You're going to die. Well, Steve was a fighter, and now he really wanted to live. Not that he didn't want to live before, but he had something to live for. In fact, he was quoted to say, I want to tell others about what Christ has done for me. So he sought what we might describe as rather unorthodox treatments down in Mexico. You know, a lot of promises were being made. We can cure you of cancer. And Steve was desperate. So he was down there in Mexico. Oh, my goodness. It was really awful what he had to go through. Coffee enemas and all kinds of strange shots and things that really honestly didn't help him, maybe even made his condition worse. But while he was down there in Mexico, some couple came to him with a cassette recorder, and they interviewed Steve. And so we, from those recordings, put them in the film where Steve talks about his faith. These recordings have never been heard before. And, you know, because someone might say, well, Greg made this story up. Steve McQueen never became a Christian. Well, I think we make it pretty clear this is absolutely true. We, of course, interview Barbara McQueen, his widow, who tells us in detail what happened to him. We interview Leonard DeWitt, his pastor. We interview others who knew him well before and after his conversion. But best of all, we hear from Steve himself talking about his faith. And as he was very ill and his voice was faint, his hope was to go to Idaho and take his stuff with him. In fact, Steve wanted to open up a little general store there and call it Queenie's. But that dream was never to be realized because it was a metaphor, the name of that ranch, that he wanted to go to, the Last Chance Ranch. But the good news is he had come to Christ at this point. and he had been changed by Jesus, and he was growing spiritually. And in fact, he shared his faith with the other patients in the clinic he was at down there in Mexico. So Steve had now gone from Steve McQueen Christian to Steve McQueen Evangelist.
As the movie wraps up, you have some great, great interviews with people like Mel Gibson and historians, people that have devoted their lives to following this story of this man. But Mel Gibson and some of the others talk about how ultimately, by committing yourself to Jesus Christ, you can be happy. Mm. The movie ends in an uplifting, happy way, doesn't it? Because of the message of peace and grace and simple happiness.
Yeah, the way our film, Steve McQueen, American Icon, ends is different than any other film made about McQueen. And there are some really good documentaries about McQueen out there, but they basically end with, yeah, Steve was the number one movie star in the world. He moved to Santa Paula, California. He learned how to fly a plane. He got cancer and he died. Well, yeah, that's technically true. But really, to me, the whole point was missed there, because in Santa Paula, Steve found what he was searching for his entire life. He found the father he never had, in one sense, in a father figure, Sammy Mason, but more importantly, in a relationship with God, his father. He knew he was loved. He knew he was forgiven, and his life was transformed. And so, yes, this is a happy ending. Now, if Steve were still alive today, he would be the age of Clint Eastwood, their contemporaries. We wish Steve had lived a longer life, of course. It's very sad and tragic that he got cancer. But the glorious thing is, 6 months before he found out he was ill, his life was changed and he had the big questions of his life answered. And at the end of this film, we not only tell what happened to Steve, but then I directly address the people watching the film and tell them how they can have the same relationship with Jesus. You know, one of Steve's concerns was he was not able to tell others about what Christ had done for him. So I wanted to sort of right the wrong. That's why I wrote the book, Steve McQueen, The Salvation of an American Icon. And we made this film. I wanted to share the message that Steve was never able to share. I'm using his life like a testimony, because it is a testimony. It's a story of God's grace on display, transforming a guy you would never think would come to Christ. And I hope that this movie and this book about Steve's transformation will give hope and encouragement to folks who are listening right now, who maybe have a husband that seems so hard to the gospel, or a son, or for that sake, a daughter or a wife, whoever you know. No one is beyond the reach of God. And that's one of the big stories that comes out of the transformation of Steve, is God reached the number one movie star in the world at the top of his game and changed him. And then when, yes, the bad news of his cancer came, he fought it with courage and with faith, telling others about Jesus. And Steve is in heaven. You know, Steve had a conversation with Billy Graham. And as that conversation came to an end, Steve said to Billy, "I'll see you in heaven." And that's where Steve is now. And that's where every person goes who has put their faith in Jesus.
We've been talking to Pastor Greg Laurie today from Harvest Church. And Harvest, amazing, amazing community you have there, where it says it right when you walk in. The mission is knowing God and making him known. And Greg, we feel like you've done that with this film, and we are so appreciative of this time. God bless you, and we hope to see you again.
Thank you very much.
What an amazing story about God's love reaching one of the most iconic names in Hollywood. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and you've been listening to our Vice President of Media, Brian McNulty, as he interviewed Pastor Greg Laurie from Harvest Christian Fellowship about his upcoming movie entitled Steve McQueen, American Icon, here on Family Talk. Pastor Greg created this film to spread the gospel, and he has a very strong invitation to those who don't know Christ right in the movie. So you want to make sure to invite your unsaved friends to see this movie. It'll be in 800 theater screens across the country through a one-night cinema event. and it's going to occur on Thursday, September 28th. To learn more about this movie and purchase advanced tickets, go to SteveMcQueenMovie.com. We hear that the theater seats are selling out fast, so go to SteveMcQueenMovie.com today to purchase your tickets. Now, I want to thank you for your prayers and support of our ministry. It means so much to us knowing that we're covered by your prayers. I also know times are tough financially, but if you can give us a little extra help, we would certainly appreciate it. You can donate securely online to drjamesdobson.org or by calling us toll-free at 877-732-6825. Again, that number is 877-732-6825. I'm James Dobson. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. Make sure you join us tomorrow for another edition of Family Talk. God's blessings to you all.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.